Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Your internet seems to be dying.
Hello?
I think your internet's playing up there. Sir?
Hello, I'm back.
Hello. Your internet seems to be having
Hello.
A
I've got
seizure.
No idea what happened there.
Okay, you're froze again. But yeah, that pace change,
now,
that means that kind of like...
And the fire as well, when he has these...
I don't think Sars Eddie Guerrero love is something that the internet gods are allowing.
Viva la raza! I lie, I cheat, I steal. I lie, I cheat, I steal. Yo, mamacita, I got that passion that's lasting long. Los mujeres fall in love with that
language. Hello!
All right!
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever and whenever you may be listening and indeed watching from. Thank you so much for joining us again. This is Chain Wrestling Live 2, I suppose.
Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly, with Max and Soy, via the wonderful people at Radio Techers. I am the sweaty, melting, sticky, warm, horrible Soy, because it's bloody hot, isn't it? Let's be honest. And melting along with me is... the Latino heat to my sweaty meat. The Mrs. Mangle to my Nick Cotton.
Oh, hello, Ma.
But I mean that. Hello, Mum. She's actually probably out there watching somewhere. A podcaster that is so, so tough and hard. No TV villains bother him at all in real life, apart from grot bags, as we've heard before. The podfather himself, Mr. Mags, how are we doing this week?
I am just like you, sir. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I've had to turn my fan off because we're recording because it cuts into the audio. So I'm even more hot and sweaty. I've got a fucking clock in front of me that tells me it's 27 degrees at 9 p.m. in the UK. Yeah, I'm not a happy bunny, but we're recording Chain Wrestling. So, I mean, that's changed my attitude all for the better, sir.
Yes, indeed. And we've got quite the show for you today, as always, because we're just bloody brilliant. Everyone should know this by now. Even if you've only watched one live, that's all you need. We are covering the fantastic WrestleMania 20 title match between Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle when we get onto our wrestling topic later on. And we have a sort of a sinister, evil look at people's preferences for certain television as well, with people's favourite TV villains, I guess, or well, maybe not favourite, but the ones people like to hate the most, I guess, Magsy would be the way of wording it, maybe?
Yeah, makes sense. There's a lot of really kind of dastardly, evil people in the world of TV, so yeah, we've got some very unique and interesting answers.
Yeah. Yeah, one I didn't. Well, I'm going to probably cover it last. That we didn't. I didn't know who this person was sent in to us by Ori, but I looked it up, and my goodness, that bloke. Yeah, Reign of Terror on that TV show. I'll tell you that. before we get onto that, though, Mags, how you been, my friend?
Yeah, not been too bad. It's been quite a busy weekend with UFC and then Radio Techers and then last night's wrestling, which was absolutely amazing. I loved every second of that show. Busy but happy, I suppose.
Yeah, Money in the Bank last night, the WWE pay-per-view. I was awake anyway, so I thought, I might as well chuck it on. I ended up really enjoying the show. I mean, I don't watch a lot of WWE product anymore, as most people who've heard Chain Wrestling or me on any other show are aware. I check out the pay-per-views, that's about it. But this show last night, this pay-per-view last night, makes me want to go and have a look at Raw and SmackDown this week, Mags.
Yeah, I'm someone who hasn't watched Raw and SmackDown regularly in over a decade. And I am contemplating at least checking out John Cena's return to Raw. So it did exactly what it needed to do.
On the note of John Cena, actually, I'm probably the biggest hypocrite in the world now, because for a long time I booed Cena. I was so sick of him. What was it, 2007 through to the early, 2014, 2015 maybe, where he was just always in the main events, always went over, or Super Cena, wasn't it? It was like he couldn't be defeated regardless of how many people you put in front of him, and all, and it just got so boring. But I proper popped when Cena's music hit last night. I'm surprised I didn't wake the wife up. I was that excited to see John Cena.
The last time I popped like that for wrestling was when Thuganomics Cena came back at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah. It shows star power, I guess, mate, doesn't it? It shows absolute star power.
It absolutely does. I've had a kind of a, I wouldn't say an argument, but I've set a few people straight on Twitter talking about how basically, if you didn't enjoy that pop, how can you call yourself a wrestling fan with all these kind of wars that we're having, imaginary wrestling wars, AEW versus WWE. And we saw it all as soon as the match was over, as soon as the show was over last night, people comparing WWE and AEW.
Yeah.
Just let it breathe. It was a brilliant wrestling show. It doesn't matter if AEW have an even better one this week, because that's better for us as fans. We can watch... Yeah. I'm getting tired of this having to draw a line and say you can, if you're a fan of one, you cannot be a fan of another, and you have to shit on one. You have to adore everything that the other one does. It gets really, really boring, and it filters down from the top, because I've got a pimple dick of the week, and we'll definitely get to that. But it filters down from the very top of wrestling social media, just the kind of hypocrisy and the kind of waiting to bash one company over another. It's just it gets boring.
Yeah, it does. Negativity all the time. I mean, don't get me wrong, you can be critical of something if you don't enjoy it, but at the same time, not all wrestling is meant for everybody. You know, I enjoy a certain type of wrestling. My daughter likes a certain type of wrestling. You might enjoy something different. That's the way it is. Arguing with people online because they don't like the company you like, or they don't like the wrestler you like, or it's just pathetic, man. You know, and these are grown-ups as well. These aren't like little 4, 5, 6-year-olds, little toddlers or whatever, bickering amongst themselves about whatever. These are grown-ups. These are fully grown men and women arguing about effectively pretend fighting.
Yeah, pretty you much. And whilst we're on the topic, I might as well go into the pimple dick run the pimple dick audio. So here we go.
Pimple dick alert!
Oh, a teeny weeny.
So for my
pimple, look at that.
I don't normally bring pimple dicks to the table because I'm
your
usually
first one,
kind of,
Max, I think.
Yeah, I'm usually quite placid, but the biggest pimple dick in wrestling journalism, Shagger Dave Meltzer. He put whilst the show was going on, and I have to caveat this, there was a lot of American fans who were having major issues with the stream. But he put up on his Twitter feed, "I can't believe that they're pretending that everything is fine. Pretty sure that this is the only promotion in the world that wouldn't hold up the show until it's fixed." So what he's referencing there is the Peacock stream was really struggling in America. And instantly Dave's thoughts were to blame the company and said essentially they should have stopped the show. Now, no other company in the world would have said to a crowd of that many thousands of people who have basically at their first wrestling show in the best part of 2 years, "Well, we're going to stop now, lads, because the stream's a bit knackered up." Every show would carry on, no matter what company it is. But the fact that he put that up and was kind of almost like trying to bait the community. And then it turns out that it wasn't even an issue with WWE at all, because people who had it in the UK and Canada, all who had the network, were absolutely fine. So it was legitimately an NBC Peacock issue. After a while, I think they switched the feed, so the Peacock got the network feed, so everything was hunky-dory. And I feel bad for the people who missed the parts of the show because of this issue, but to use this as another attack on WWE was especially from somebody with the influence of Dave Meltzer, he kind of sets the ball rolling and basically his cult start diving in. And some of the comparisons were getting just like, it made my skin crawl. I mean, the biggest comparison that a lot of fans made was, well, they didn't stop the show when a man fell from the ceiling and died in the ring. Why are they going to stop the show from a bad streaming service? And I'm like, the reaches that you are making to just slam WWE. Yeah, the stuff what happened with Owen was awful, but this is a glitch in a stream. It's nowhere, it's comparing apples and oranges. So for my first ever pimple dick, it's Dave Meltzer and his motley crew of idiots who use this to essentially slag off WWE when they're having arguably the best pay-per-view that they've done in a year. And if we want to play that kind of backbiting stuff, didn't AEW once air a show with the NBA audio playing in the background for like about half an hour, and that show didn't get stopped? So why should this show have been stopped? I don't get it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Magsy. Dave Meltzer's a funny one for me. He's got this kind of aura of being all-knowing and people looking up to him, but I think it's just purely because of the longevity of his his career, shall we say, is his dirt sheet that the Observer, whatever, has ran for decades, hasn't it? And I suppose when you've been around that long, you naturally do garner a certain level of respect, I suppose. And I do kind of look for his match ratings to see what he thinks about stuff as well. And I've read the Observer quite a few times in the past, and it is quite informative. It's quite interesting, an interesting read. However, that's all he is. He's someone who has an opinion on wrestling. Someone who's watched a lot of wrestling and wrote about a lot of wrestling is far more experienced in the sort of writing side of wrestling than you or I, for example. But it's still his opinion. Mm-hmm. And an opinion is literally that. It's his opinion. It doesn't mean it's gospel. It doesn't mean if it's right or wrong. And the same as Jim Cornette, I suppose. He's got this weird sort of cult that follows him. And when certain things are said, these people jump on it online and just carry on sort of trying to enforce the viewpoint of this person, I suppose. And the constant knock in WWE, I mean, WWE do a lot wrong, in my opinion. Don't get me wrong. But again, it's an opinion. They do a lot. It's not for me, so I don't watch it. And there's so many people out there as well who make, and Meltzer comes under this, I suppose, who make content, whether that's shows like this one or audio podcasts or that they're writing about things or whatever, and all it is them being negative and screaming and shouting and moaning about WWE. Raw was this, Raw was that, 3 hours of rubbish, etc. Don't watch it then. And their response is, well, I've got to watch it for my show. Oh yeah, it's so ridiculous, you know. It's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. So I 100% agree with you, Magsy. This week's Pimble Dick Alert. First one brought to the table by yourself.
Yes.
100% agree, mate. What a complete Pimple Dick Dave Meltzer is.
Absolutely. And we've got a lot of agreeing here in the chat. Firstly, we'll say hello to Dan and Scottish Danny and Clive from the Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show. They're all having a little bit of a chin wag about the weather and about what Cena's got to say on Raw tonight. And then one of our favourites, Aura, in the chat as well. She agrees. I've been done with Meltzer for a while for many reasons. Dan Griffin, there's more journalistic integrity in the sweat dripping off my nads than in Dave Meltzer. I mean, I agree with Simon, though. I appreciate him for his... If he says a match is 5-star, it's generally something that I'm going to go and check out. I may not fully agree with his ratings, but I'll definitely go and check it out. But the way he reports news, and he claims to have no kind of bias, but the way he has those rose-coloured glasses on for companies like AEW and New Japan, and then the way something exactly the same will happen in WWE, and it's the worst thing in wrestling. That kind of biased news report is something that I can definitely do without. Scottish Danny, Mags and Sar tearing apart that pathetic Torag-sniffing simpleton Dave Meltzer. Love it. Dave Meltzer deserves to be put in the Pimple Dick Hall of Fame. What a first-class idiot. Meltzer hates WWE because they never offered to hire him. It's pure bitterness. It seems that way. And hello, sir. Enjoying his bath in this weather, having a bath. That's a brave, brave man. A well-deserved award.
There we go. There we go. Oh, what an absolute loser Dave Meltzer can be. Before we get on to our non-wrestling topic, Magsy, I want to tell you about a little practical joke I played over the last week or so. Well, there's two, actually. There's two. And the target recently... I suppose sometimes when I get bored, I kind of get up to mischief.
Get up to mischief.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the target recently of these has been my son. He bought himself a Jason, is it Voorhees mask?
Okay.
From Friday, the sort of white, you know, the
hockey mask style.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one. And the one night I saw it hanging there, it's on a bit of elastic and it hangs on the side of the thing. It's, you know, just this little mask. And I went in his bedroom to turn his plugs off because all my kids are a nuisance for leaving their plugs on all the time. Went in the bedroom to turn his plugs off, saw this mask, and he was stirring a bit in bed. And I thought, that's too good an opportunity to pass up, isn't it? So I put this mask on, went really, really close to his face. And then I went, Liam, Liam. He rolls around, sees me, screams. Good time was had by all. Well, me.
Good time was had by me.
Yeah. And I enjoyed that so much, I decided... I'm gonna make a little regular routine of this. So I started going in to his room when he was asleep every night for probably, I reckon I did it 7, 8, maybe 9 nights on a trot. And it was every single night.
Wow. That may be like torture.
Well, potentially. But he laughs about it in the day, not at the time.
I bet he was like, yes, hilarious.
Yeah. But that's sort of like the sort of lead in to the main one I did this week. This was during the day, so I didn't wake him up. So that's, you know, maybe a touch of an improvement there. But have you ever seen these, I suppose, the teeth whitener stuff? It's like charcoal toothpaste you can get.
Yeah, it's like use that.
Yep. Yeah, it's like a little pot of powder, isn't it? And you brush it on and it sort of takes the stains off your teeth.
I was just in a tube. It's just black toothpaste in a tube.
Ah, right. No. Black toothpaste. That sounds weird.
And it's charcoal.
Yeah. Okay. And this is like powder that you got to get your toothbrush wet and dip
it in.
Same sort of thing, I'm guessing. And, you know, I drink a lot of tea. I used to smoke a lot, so it sort of takes the stains off your teeth and whatnot. And I've been using it for a week or two, and it's really good. But it makes all your spit go black. You know,
like you've been chewing tobacco.
Yeah, that's what you spit. I was sort of, my son, bless him, I love him to bits. His bedroom door was shut, and I thought, I'm gonna get in with this one, eh? So I brushed my teeth with loads of it, and I put loads of water in my garden, washed it all around, so it was all, you know, and I just kept walking into his door, like literally bang, bang, and he's saying, "Come in, come in, come in." And he opens the door, and I stumbled in going, and all this black stuff. And it's literally like you're just pouring black, almost like Alexa Bliss was doing on Raw for a little while, if you remember. And I'm like pouring this black stuff out of my mouth like I was a zombie or sort of a member of the undead or whatever. And honestly, the reaction he gave me was better than the mask. It was absolutely superb. I loved it. I'm sort of now thinking, where's the next step? Where do I go next? You know?
Where do I go next in tormenting my child? On another note, Liam, if you do want to contact Childline, the number's 0800.
He has threatened us with that before, to be honest. He has threatened us with that before. He said about that, I'm going to call Childline or whatever. He's obviously doing it tongue-in-cheek, or maybe he was. I hope. Who knows? You know, we'll get a knock on the door at this rate, won't we?
Andy from Bang Bang Podcast. I'm making a safeguarding referral as we speak. Just for context, Mrs. Mags, she manages a company that deals with children who've had traumatic upbringings. So, yeah, I'll be getting some advice on from Mrs. Mags about whether I should report this to Laddo.
No, he's got it fine. He's fine. Shall we have a little look at our non-wrestling topic of the week, Magsy?
Yes, we shall, please.
Yeah. Again, everybody, thank you so, so much for all the interaction we've had on this. This week, for our non-wrestling topic, we wanted to discuss TV villains, bad guys from, whether it's Mum-Ra from, you know, Thundercats cartoon, or somebody from a soap opera or wherever. And we had so many interactions. Again, you people who watch the live shows here and listen back on the audio as well, you're all absolutely fantastic. We can't thank you enough for all the interactions we get. Some are going to be very much on the mercy of your TV knowledge, Magsy, because there's some I might not know. I might have to sort of pick your brains on that one.
We can try. I mean, a lot of them are either shows that I've never watched or characters that I don't remember. But yeah, we will certainly believe that our watchers and listeners aren't telling lies, and that these are really villainous people and not really good guys that they're just disallowed.
Well, one of them is with us now, Danny at Scottish Juggalo on Twitter. He says he's got to go with Richard Hillman from the early 2000s Coronation Street.
Classic.
Master at being a heel, inspiring youngsters to be like Prince Albert from the Performance Center. They should study Corey instead.
Yeah, I mean, he was an evil, evil bastard.
Was he really? What sort of thing was he? What did he do?
I'm sure, if I remember right, I mean, I wasn't a massive Coronation Street watcher, but he was the guy who was married to Gail. Do you know the one with the turkey neck?
Gail Platt.
Yeah.
And the one who looks like Luka Modric.
You know, she actually does a lot, doesn't she? Yeah. And he made it his mission to try and murder her. So, I mean, is that really heelish, though?
That is kind of nasty, I guess. You know,
it's like naughty. It's like mischievous.
Oh, you cheeky scamp with your little bit of murder. MGB Graham, the cigarette smoking man from the X-Files. When he appeared, you knew it was going to be a banging episode. I remember that as well. And that's when, to me, the X-Files towards the end got a bit silly. It got a bit convoluted, a bit too much going on, and I suppose a lot of these shows do, don't they? But in the early series, when they sort of investigate the monster of the week, and then it is obvious that something had been covered up, and that cigarette smoking man would just pop up somewhere. Oh, it's creepy, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm sure it turns out that he's not particularly that evil. He's just trying to work with the aliens so they don't wipe out the human population. It's explained in the movie, I can't remember what the subtitle of the movie was, but the X-Files movie, that basically if this select group of Earthlings didn't work with these aliens, that they were just going to wipe out the world anyway. So whilst he did heelish things, it was for the greater good.
Right, I see. Okay. At 90s Wrestling Pod, Sensei Kreese, I'm guessing that's a Cobra Kai reference, maybe.
This is one I had to Google because I've not watched Cobra Kai. It's something that I've wanted to get into, but just never had the time. And then by the time I do get time to watch a series of it, there's three or four series already. So, it does look good. I don't know the character, so I'll take James's word for it on that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it being, I was in Karate Kid, but Cobra Kai, again, everyone bangs on about it being amazing. But it just doesn't appeal to me for some reason. I don't know. I didn't massively enjoy the Karate Kid films, even when I was little. So
the first one was really good. The second one was they tried to almost capture the same kind of lightning in a bottle as the first one. The third and fourth, yeah, they are so forgettable.
Yeah. I don't even think I've watched them.
And then don't even go there for the Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith reboot.
See, these reboot movies do my nut, because again, my older kids are very much of an age where, you know, again, my son and my eldest daughter are very much of an age where they would watch these reboots when they rebooted RoboCop and so on. Mm-hmm. And then you say, no, watch the originals, they're better, but because they look a bit dated, it don't hold up to the effects you've got now, and so on. It's quite, you know, Yeah, bloody rebooting films, man. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Ghostbusters was the one for me. Ghostbusters was my favourite when I was a kid. And when they rebooted it, so I still haven't watched it because I've got no interest.
I've never watched the one with the female Ghostbusters. Yeah, doesn't interest me.
No. Steve-O, at Total Steve-O on Twitter. He's a big fan of the Bill, isn't he, Max? Yeah.
I think Stan of the Bill.
Yeah, massive Bill fanatic. Which again, it's a show I've never really watched, to be honest.
I used to watch it maybe 15 years ago. I don't know if it's still even going now. It was great back in the day when you had like Quinnen and Reg Hollis, characters like that. But I've not really watched any of the more recent ones.
You could literally be making up names right now, and I'd be clueless. I've got no idea. Steve-O says, half these people, he can't really say what they did, as Twitter would ban his account, but bad guys in the Bill that were fantastic. Ron Gregory, Jeff Simpson, Peter Jackson, although he turned out to be innocent. I don't know who any of those people are.
I have no idea who those characters are, but I do know that Steve-O has been banned multiple times for his disparagement of the Bill, so we have to be very careful with him.
Is that right, is it?
Yeah, I believe so. I think he's on his, like, maybe third or fourth account. He gets banned on the regular. This is, I think, is the longest he's ever had a Twitter account. Dan agreeing with you. Reboot movies, all flash and no substance, like modern wrestling compared to the old stuff. See, the links back to wrestling. Such a talented audience we've got. And then he comes back with this monstrosity of a take. I actually like the Ghostbusters reboot. I take back everything nice I've said about you, Dan. Scottish
it's not
Danny,
Bill Murray, that's something wrong.
The Bill is how I met Steve-O, class guy. Yeah, I think it was a Bill tweet that I actually started chatting with him with. And then obviously it turns out to be a huge wrestling fan and a brilliant mimic of Vince McMahon.
Yeah, those little videos are great. Keep them up, Steve-O. They're awesome. Steve-O continues, cartoon characters. He's a Simpsons mark, so he can't stand Lisa.
I mean...
Okay. Is she a bad guy?
No, I think she's the most do-good person on the whole show. She's literally the moral compass of the show. So
does she maybe grass Bart up for stuff in early episodes or something, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, nothing that really stands out. She's just kind of like the very goody-goody two-shoes.
Yeah, fair enough. At UTT Rob on Twitter, Martin Kemp was an excellent villain in EastEnders. And I can agree with that. He was awesome. He killed somebody with an ashtray, didn't he? Saskia, is that right?
Yeah. Was it his fiancé? Yeah.
And then didn't the young lad who worked in the club with him get the blame or something?
Was it? Yeah, and I can't remember the guy's name. He ended up fleeing Walford, didn't he?
It's the best thing to do, mind, because I mean that's a really small little square, isn't it? And on that little square, you've got the market, you've got the boozer, you've got the bookies, a couple of shops, and then a few houses, and so on, right? And then obviously the little bit of greenery in the middle. But in that small little condensed part of London, so much shit goes down.
Me and the wife have said this time and time again. If you were looking for somewhere to live in the London area and it was around Christmas time, you would never, ever contemplate moving to Walford because something bad always happens. You're either going to get murdered, you're going to find out your husband's been cheated on you. Yeah,
Walford, you can't get married.
Yeah, Walford's a horrific place to live.
Yeah, businesses get set alight all the time and, terrible. And it's also miserable as well, isn't it, all the time? I mean, all these soaps are like, Emmerdale, Coronation Street, Hollyoaks and whatnot. They obviously all follow a similar-ish format because of the nature of the show, aren't they? They're, you know. But at least with some of the others, they have something that's maybe a little bit lighthearted or something that might make you smile or a bit of comedy in there every now and again. But EastEnders just seems to always be so grey and miserable and depressing all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why it's so popular, because you watch EastEnders and think, oh, well, my shitty life's not as bad as I thought. I'm not having it as bad as these poor saps.
Yeah, there's no chance of me getting buried under the cellar of the local pub or anything like that, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be your dream. That'd be like, if I go, bury me in the cellar of a pub.
Oh, see, I was thinking about this the other day. No, I was going to get a bit morbid now. I was thinking about this the other day. Because the wife had Desperate Housewives on, and somebody passed away in that, and they wanted their ashes spread on a baseball field. Okay. Which was important to them. So I started thinking, where would I want my ashes spread? You know, and all I could think about was maybe Gloucester City Football Club's ground, because I had so many great memories there when I was a kid, and then just local pubs. And it's like, that's quite a sad legacy to have, isn't it, really?
It is. It really, really is. I think for me, I'd want to be scattered in somewhere in Turkey, because it's somewhere where I think me and Mrs. Mags are going to eventually end up retiring to.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's the plan. If it comes off is another thing, but yeah, that's the plan.
Nice. Okay. Well, make sure you got a spare room for me to come and visit, Mags.
Absolutely. Mrs. P in the chat, don't you dare insult Hollyoaks. Do you know, and this is not me kind of buttering up your missus, but if he came with some Hollyoaks slander, I would just mute him from the stream, because I will not have him slating the good people of Chester. Not at all. D-Valley for life.
Mate, it's dross.
It's not, sir.
It is. It's so bad. It is terrible. And it's not even like it's bad and... it's just ridiculous. It's just such nonsense all the time. And again, that is such a small little area as well. You know, it's just like, oh no, I hate Hollyoaks with a passion. Absolutely hate it.
So this is chain wrestling now with just Mags.
Brilliant. Rob continues, Starscream always stuck him as a dick in Transformers, as he was always trying to get overthrow Megatron. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Megatron is the bad guy.
Yes.
Starscream
was his rat-hand man, but he was also a snivelling, two-faced coward, and he would always try and sell Megatron down the river and then want to take control of the Decepticons. But then whenever Megatron came back, he'd be like, oh, yeah, great, Megatron's back. That's brilliant. Oh, I love you, Megatron. Right. Don't whoop me.
Don't whoop me. Proper robot speak, yeah? Don't whoop me. See, I don't know. That's a funny one for me, because if he's... Obviously, Megatron's like the big, big, nasty bad guy. If he's trying to overthrow him, surely that's, in a way, a bit of a good thing. But if he's that much of a nasty git himself, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was trying to overthrow Megatron and to make the Decepticons good. He just wanted to be the head dickwad out of the Decepticons.
Right. The head dickwad. Brilliant. At Millwall Chris, he says, surely Sylvester Sneakley from The Perils of Penelope Pitstop has to be the most evil character ever. He spent every episode trying to kill her whilst disguised as his alter ego, the Hooded Claw, to get her money whilst actually being her legal guardian. A very sick man. Now, that description here does make me think, yeah, very sick man, but I'm not 100% sure what that's about.
So I know Penelope Pitstop was in Wacky Races.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's kind of like a spin-off from that. Yeah, but I don't know the character. I wasn't that much into Penelope Pitstop as a youth.
No, okay. But I mean,
he sounds like a dick.
He does sound like a complete dick. If he's her legal guardian and he's trying to get her killed off to take her money, you know, that's not good behaviour.
No, it's not. Absolutely, it's not. And why she got a legal guardian when she was driving a car? She drove a car in Wacky Races. What does she need a legal guardian for? Surely she's old enough to fend for herself.
I don't know. Maybe this show was before Wacky Races.
Like a prequel. Yeah. Or maybe she's under a Britney Spears-style conservatorship.
Maybe.
So hashtag free Penelope.
We have to look more into that, I think.
using poor Britney Spears as torment for comedy relief.
She may just come from a state in America that means you can drive young, because in some states in America you can drive at like 16, can't you? 15 or whatever.
Yeah, I think you take lessons in school. I think it's like a class you take in school.
How old is Penelope Pitstop? That's, I think that's the question here that we need answering first.
To Google.
This is a wrestling podcast. It really is.
Get your guesses in before I finish typing.
Whilst you're carrying on with that, Magsy, we'll quickly go to Chris Mangle, our good buddy from all the way in Australia, messaging in. He said, we mentioned the Bill. Fair few wrong uns on there. Phil Hunter, Gabriel Kent, Barry Grant's character. I don't really know a great deal of the Bill, so I'm going to have to look some of these up. I know it ran for a long, long time, so I imagine you'd end up having lots of recycled bad guys coming through, I guess.
Yeah, I watched the earlier stuff. I wasn't too clued up on the newer stuff. I think I stopped watching it when the intro video stopped being the kind of like old Rover police car coming in, and then the outro video. The outro video was literally just a bloke and a woman copper walking up a cobbled street. That's when I literally stopped watching it. So I've got the perils of Penelope Pitstop Wikipedia up, and instantly the picture that's up is her with her helmet and driving glasses on. So it looks like she was of legal age. So I still don't understand why she was under a guardianship. But it also does show this douchebag, whatever he's called, the evil person. Oh, Dick Dastardly and Muttley was in it as well.
Sylvester Sneakley,
yeah. AKA the Hooded Claw. He's the guardian of Penelope Pitstop and the main antagonist who has motives to kill Penelope because of her vast fortune. Described by the show's narrator as that villain of villains in his disguise as the Hooded Claw, he manages to capture or kidnap Penelope, who is unaware of his secret identity. In most episodes, he makes deadly traps to get her killed and thereby her inheritance. However, he always fails when the Anthill mob rescues her or Penelope outsmarts him and gets herself free from his traps. His catchphrase when his plans was foiled was, "Blast." Surely it'd be easy to just wait till he's in bed, get a pillow, just over the face, nice and quiet.
All right, Max.
Nobody knows. I mean, why set up these convoluted Rube Goldberg-style traps when they clearly didn't work in the first episode? Why would you keep doing it over and over and over again? Just push her down the stairs. Put some marbles at the top of the stairs. Do-do-do-do-do. Inheritance won.
So we don't know how old Penelope Pitstop is, but we got three or four methods of killing her. Fantastic.
Yeah. And again, if you are struggling, you need child addicts.
William Kitchen at the Appliance 180 on Twitter. He says the Demon Headmaster was one of the best TV villains he ever came across. Mm-hmm. So, and I can agree with that. Very scary, creepy dude.
Yeah, that's been mentioned before on Chain Wrestling, I think. The stare from him was terrifying.
Yeah, he sent me a little gif of the guy. You know, I tried to screenshot it so I could have a note of what we were talking about. It just ended up a screenshot of this massive eye, and it's freaky. So I'm going to do something
with
it.
One eye.
Dan Griffin at Dan Griffin 21. David Morrissey played the governor in Walking Dead, and he was a great villain. Utter reprehensible shit. Same as Jeffrey Dean Morgan playing Negan and Samantha Morton as Alpha on the same show. Now, The Walking Dead, I have never seen. It's a program that the wife said she's quite interested in watching at some stage, and I was interested more recently, but I'll be honest, when it first came out, I used to get freaked out a little bit about zombies, so it kind of put me off a bit. You know, I didn't want to have bad dreams, Magsy, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, again, it was one of those shows that I didn't hear about until it was into a couple of seasons, and by then I didn't want to play catch-up, so I never really got into it. But David Morrissey is an outstanding actor, really kind of underappreciated. Samantha Morton, another brilliant actress. And I think the lead character, is he called Rick? That's Andrew Lincoln, who was in This Life. Again, another stunning actor. So it's something I really should catch up on and watch And Scottish Dennis seems to agree, says the first four seasons are unbeatable. So, yeah, if that is people's recommendations, yeah, when I get the time, I will certainly start watching The Walking Dead.
We could watch it together, Mags, and like come report back on the show, couldn't we?
We could. It could be a spin-off. Maybe it could be a regular thing here on Radio Techers. TV-based shows. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wink, wink, yeah. Oh. Maybe we'll talk about that at the end. At Smoky... how do I pronounce that? Smoky Mountains Guy, WCB on Twitter. Michael Rosenbaum as Lex Luthor in Smallville. Now, again, I've never seen Smallville. I've got a thing with prequels, mate. I don't know what it is. I don't really like the idea of if I've watched a film or watched a TV series, then having another TV series set before then, because you kind of know how it's going to end up with the new series. Does that make sense?
I think there's exceptions. For instance, I really enjoyed Gotham. I thought that was a brilliant show. And that's kind of like set before the origin story of Batman, and really kind of gives you a lot of backstory to some characters. Smallville was not a show that I ever got into, but I have seen the actor before, this Michael Rosenbaum, and he does look very Lex Luthor-esque.
Right. Okay. Dan M. Parker, at Dan, not Daniel, on Twitter. And this is one that I had a few people suggest on different tweets as well, my daughter Anya being one. And it's actually one of the images that we used at the very beginning. Oh, hello. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Teabag from Prison Break.
Again, not a show I've ever watched.
Oh, Prison Break was good. Well, the first couple of seasons was good, but Teabag, vile, horrible, mate. Horrible.
Was he like a prison gangster?
Yeah, you know the pictures that we put up on the Twitter showing the bad guys, and we had Nasty Nick and
that.
You know the scrawny little dude. That's Teabag. Okay, that's Teabag from Prison Break, and he's like he's a pervert. He's a sex offender. He's just a horrible, horrible, horrible person. And he does this thing where when like new young lads get put in prison,
this dude.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's the one.
It looks like a wrong one.
He does. He does. When new, I suppose, fresh meat come into prison, he protects them if they are basically going to do, shall we say, favors for him, but to make sure that everyone else in prison knows that they're not to touch this young lad, he'll put his pocket out, so it's inside out, and have the young kid hold on to the pocket, and he'll lead him around like that. And it's just that thing when he pulls the pocket out, and it's, oh god,
so like parading his new property, I assume.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Yeah, but he's a sick dude, man. Some of the stories you hear about him, like in prison, and then there's also eventually when they get out, he's doing stuff when he's out, when they're out of prison as well. Oh man, just horrific, horrific character, but brilliant because he is that horrific, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's there to be detested. That's the whole point of his character. So he's clearly doing his job. He's the Baron Corbin of Prison Break.
The Baron Corbin. Oh, no way. The last one I've got for us, Magsy, comes from our good friend Ori. And I had to look this one up because it's a show that, I'll be honest, I didn't really know was a real show. I thought it was just a sort of joke show that Joey and friends worked on called Days of Our Lives. Okay. But it's a real show that ran for a long time, apparently. I didn't know this. I got no idea. This guy is called Stefano Di Mera. Apologies if I'm saying that wrong. And I looked him up because I thought, okay, well, I know nothing of the show or of the character, so I'll have a quick read. And the reason I've saved this till last is because you've got to hear some of this stuff, mate. This character was around since the early 80s, in and out of the show. And he's had feuds with numerous other characters. He's also had situations where he was playing both his children off against one another when he was actually presumed dead, which I don't know how that works, but that's quite sinister. He he orchestrated a series of murders with his son and then orchestrated a series of murders with his nephew. So that's two separate series of murders he's been orchestrating with another family member.
Wow.
Let me scan back down a bit further. Apologies. He becomes obsessed with another character's ex-wife and accidentally causes her to be possessed by the devil. Possessed by the devil, Mags. You know? Possessed by the devil. That's probably the most evil thing I've heard of anyone do on a TV show. He, at one stage, is very poorly, so he needs stem cells. So he sends his son to go and impregnate somebody else so he can take the baby's cells when it's born to save his own life. This is unbelievable. It almost makes me want to watch this show because this guy seems like such an awesome character. You know, it's just so much there. I've literally, that's the tip of the iceberg I've gone into there. I can't go into much more. Possessed by the devil, Max.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be possessed by anyone, you'd want it to be the devil, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I suppose if you're going to go for possession, you want top level possession, don't you? Not half-assed, yeah. But not like some sort of low rate demon or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like Beelzebub.
But it's the devil, isn't it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Beelzebub is another word for the devil, isn't it?
It may well. I'm not into devil worship or anything like that.
No, you ain't got to worship the devil to understand how. You ain't got to worship the devil to know what he's called.
I mean, if you worship the devil, you'd know all his names, though. So there is that.
You say all his names like there's a big long list. It's not like, you know, Terry.
Lucifer. Yeah. Lucifer's one of his names.
Yeah. What was that lady wrestler on AEW who comes out like the zombie? Abaddon?
Oh, Abaddon.
Yeah, that's another reference in one of the later books in the Bible, isn't it? About the devil. That might be in Revelations in the last book, actually, a reference to the devil there, like that coming to destroy everything or something like that. So I've got quite a few names, I suppose.
Scottish Daddy. Was Vince Russo right in Days of Our Lives? You know, and Dan Griffin, there we go. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, okay.
Beelzebub is a demon, not the devil. I knew that. I was just playing daft just to appease Simon.
But yeah, that was it.
Wink.
I always thought it was actually the devil himself, but never mind. This is a wrestling podcast.
But to answer Scottish Danny's question, was Vince Russo writing Days of Our Lives? No, he couldn't have been because there were never any on a pole matches.
Oh man, baby stem cells on a pole or something like that.
devil worship on a pole.
And that Stefano's got to climb the pole and get the cells down to save himself.
Correct.
Oh, we've gone off the rails here big time, haven't we? Maxi, any villains that you were particularly fond of from any TV shows?
Yeah, I've got one from a show that you probably won't like because it's a comic book movie show. Netflix did a really good rendition of Daredevil, which ran for, I think, 3 seasons. But the main bad guy in that was Kingpin, played by one of the best actors in the world, Vincent D'Onofrio. And he was just an evil, evil son of a bitch. Obviously, he ends up getting locked up in prison, but he basically destroys the whole life of the main character, Matt Murdock, who plays the Daredevil. And if you don't know Daredevil, he's essentially a lawyer who is blind, and he uses his extra senses to be able to essentially see without being able to see. And he essentially is tormented by Kingpin to the point where he essentially loses the family that brought him up, the church and the nuns and the teachers that helped shape him, and all his friends and his family who work with him. And it's so sad to see, because at the end of going into the end of the third series, he's essentially on his own. Everybody's turned on him. Everybody who loved him now detests him, and he basically has to. He's become the enemy of the show, and it's all because of the kind of manipulation from Kingpin. And then the another one, and it's a show that I'm so disappointed got axed. This, for me, it needs to come back just so we get some kind of a finality to it. But it was Hannibal, and played by another amazing actor, Mads Mikkelsen. People might remember him from Casino Royale. He played Le Chief. He essentially plays the character of Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs, the kind of like cannibal, evil kind of psychiatrist. But it's about the kind of early years of him and how he kind of evades being captured and helping this young detective called Will Graham, even though that detective is actually hunting him. He's kind of like playing a game of cat and mouse with him all the way through the series. It's really, really good, and he's really kind of devious and vicious.
Okay, excellent. I'm surprised nobody's there's a comment that popped up there, Mags. I don't know how to bring that up. From the wife, Red John from The Mentalist.
Uh-huh. Well, you just have to click on the comment. It's not hard.
Oh, do I? I don't know, mate. I don't know. This is the first time I've seen all this.
for context, Simon has actually now got access. He's got admin access of StreamYards, he's going to be needing lessons.
That one there. That's me. I did this. What's my thing? There you go. There we go. Look at that. I did that. Anyway, I'm surprised nobody mentioned Dirty Den from EastEnders, because he was vile, wasn't he, in the 80s, and then when he came back as well. Janine Butcher for me is sometimes one that gets forgotten about. But you look at her,
she's due back soon.
She's been a prostitute taking advantage of people. She's murdered. She pushed her chap off a cliff, didn't she?
Well, it was barely. It wasn't really a cliff. It was a slight incline. The way it tumbled down it, yeah.
A grassy knoll.
It was a verge. She pushed him off a verge.
Yeah, he rolled down a bit of a verge and passed away. That's poor Barry.
Poor Barry. Yeah.
Poor Barry. I mean, she's been involved in loads of bad shit for years, mm-hmm. hasn't she?
Yeah.
Paul Robinson in Neighbours. I remember that when I was younger. He was vile in the early ones when I was a kid. Okay. Yeah, he was always.
I don't remember him. Was he? He was the son of one of the other characters, weren't he?
Yeah, he'd have been the son of Mr. Robinson, wouldn't he?
Yeah, obviously. And Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah, that's it.
But I wasn't a big Neighbours watcher, to be fair, so...
My mum and dad loved Neighbours. Well, I don't know if they loved it, but it would always be on each time, you know. And there was one occasion where, I don't know if I told the story on the show before, but I broke my arm playing football. And my dad had to come home... my dad came home from work for lunch. He's a driving instructor, and he used to pop in on his lunch break to have a sandwich and whatnot. He wouldn't take me to hospital, bearing in mind my arm was swollen the size of a rugby ball. He wouldn't take me to hospital until after he'd finished his sandwich, had his cup of tea, and watched the end of Neighbours, and then he would take me to hospital. So that's sort of priorities there.
again, people, if you have suffered things like this, Childline is there for you. This is becoming a therapy episode.
It is, mate. It is. I got the bed behind me. I might just lie down in a second and we can just go through some trouble. Yeah. Last couple from me, though, that are sort of, I suppose, a bit more personal because of the show they're on. The Daleks. Surely the Daleks have got to be up there as one of the all-time TV villains. You know?
I'd rule them out because they were programmed to be evil. The ones that we've kind of like spoke about were essentially humans that just did really bad things, which I think it makes it worse because you have the recognition that you're genuinely hurting people. The Daleks just wanted to exterminate. Just they had no sense of the feeling, I suppose. So I give them a little bit of a pass.
Okay. I'd go for the Master as well then, because he was just a complete shit.
Oh, he was a full-on dickhead.
Yeah, he was just an absolute dick, you know?
Dave Rule in the chat has come with a banger. Cyril Sneer from The Raccoons. Yes, The Raccoons. Oh, my God, Cyril Sneer was an absolute good. I'm sure he was he not an anteater? With the floppy nose that he had, I'm sure he was an anteater, but...
They all had that pink. Am I thinking of the right show where their noses went like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that show. That freaked me out a bit. When I was a kid, I didn't like it. Weren't a fan of that,
you didn't like the
why? I just didn't like them. They look weird, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do look weird.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Well, I can't explain it. When I was a kid, I didn't, you know. Yeah, but them, yeah.
It does look like an anteater with that.
Does he?
Like bent nose, yeah.
He's got a cigar.
I mean, anteaters are allowed to smoke. He's an adult.
Okay. He's a perfect eight, yeah.
I mean, where did he buy that cigar? I mean, he had that cigar every episode, so none of it ever disappeared. Might be one of those, like, exploding ones.
Yeah, potentially. Potentially. Okay. Shall we talk some wrestling?
Yes, let's.
Okie doke. Our wrestling topic this week.
Whoa. You jumped the gun a bit there, sir. I was waiting.
I was waiting.
We're talking some wrestling.
Let's get ready to rumble!
And I certainly didn't forget to do it.
No, of course. This is only our second ever live episode. We're sort of still finding our way a little bit, I think.
We are
definitely. The fact that when we were supposed to be going live at 9 PM, I wasn't even online yet at, what was it, 8:57 or something. Sort of shows how we're...
And then we thought we'd risk it and actually get Simon's StreamYard access sorted. And we, to be fair, we nailed it. We did that in quick time.
Could have very easily gone wrong, though. Our wrestling topic this week that won the poll. Again, thank you so much to everyone who voted and shared the tweet and got involved there, as always. 74% of the votes, Magsy. I took a trounce in this week.
You did. You absolutely did.
I took an absolute battering.
Is that three in a row now? I think it's three in a row.
I don't know, mate. I don't know. I'll bring it up in a moment. I'll have a look. But yeah, I took an absolute trouncing. So I'm going to try to bring out the big guns this week, I think, to try and pull one back. Because I'm 19-14 down, I think. So need to put it back somehow. But the match we're covering is, as you can see in the lovely graphic that is behind us, the WWE Championship match from WrestleMania 20 between Eddie Guerrero, who is the reigning champion, defending against challenger Kurt Angle. This comes from Madison Square Garden and was originally broadcast on March the 14th, 2004. There is listed as being 20,000 in attendance. I don't for a second that it was a sellout. I'm not sure if we're talking about 20,000 being an accurate figure because we know how WWE works, but there we go. And the buy rate was well over a million, making Vince McMahon an even wealthier fellow. Hey everybody, as you may have noticed by our sort of tongue-in-cheek intro this week, we experienced a few technical issues. Well, I say we, me, not Mags, he's a professional. I experienced numerous technical issues on this week's recording of Chain Wrestling Live. If you watch the live show, you'll know exactly what I'm on about, but if this is the way you get hold of Chain Wrestling and you listen to the audio recording, first of all, thank you so much for doing that. But there's a few issues going forward here in the rest of the show. Internet wise, it was an issue. Virgin Media can suck my balls. It's going to get rectified and sorted 100% before next week's show. But just to pre-warn you, there's going to be a few issues going forward for the rest of the episode, but hopefully they're quite small, we can overlook them, and it doesn't affect your enjoyment of the episode. And again, as always, Magsy, super professional, super top class podcaster. He carries the show as I sort of appear and disappear from the live feed. I hope everyone's enjoying the show, and I hope everyone's going to subscribe to all the Radio Techers social medias to catch us live if you have not already. Apologies for the issues that are upcoming, and thank you again, everybody, for listening. Maxi, how long ago was it you last watched this match back before this week then?
Oh, it was a good few years ago. This is a pay-per-view that I would go back and watch slightly regularly, just because of how many like really good moments are in it. It's been a while since I've watched this one.
Yeah, I like the triple threat, and I like certain other moments in the pay-per-view as well. I do revisit. I mean, it's a bit of a funny one, I suppose. I don't want to go into the sort of the details of it too much now, because this show is not about that. But 2004, I'm really fond of a lot of matches in 2004, and a lot of them do involve Chris Benoit. And obviously, we know what happened with Benoit, so it makes it difficult to discuss in certain circles with certain people who may not appreciate that. But this match, funnily enough, is one that I tend not to rewatch. I tend to kind of skip if I'm just scanning through the show. I'd forgotten how bloody good it was.
So is there a reason why you skipped this one?
I've got no idea.
The time frame.
Yeah, maybe. It might be like I'm sort of scanning through and I see this, I see that, and I watch the triple threat. And then I go and Stevie Richards, that's right. I get to the triple threat and then I maybe go and watch something else then, you know. Well, Scottish Danny said he had that on VHS. I bet that must have been two or three tapes, surely.
Yeah, it was a hell of a long show.
Yeah, it was like 4.5 hours, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, I think this match starts at like way into 3 hours of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, so it must have been many, many cassette tapes involved with that. Basic gist of the story is that Eddie Guerrero has won the WWE title at No Way Out in that fantastic match with Brock Lesnar. That's what I do go back and watch on a regular basis. I really enjoy that. Kurt Angle has decided that, I suppose, Eddie is not fit to be representing WWE as champion with his past and his addiction troubles and so on. So makes it a mission of his to as the Olympic hero, the American hero, makes it his mission to go and win the title off the dirty cheating addict that is Eddie Guerrero. Madison Square Garden, for a start, Max, it's a special place, isn't it? I've never been there, but to wrestling fans, when you're watching events, it feels special when an event is in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, just even the name of Madison Square Gardens, you instantly think the best wrestling shows, the biggest wrestling moments. And it's kind of concerning that the current WWE is struggling to sell out Madison Square Gardens, and it's been made a big deal of in wrestling Twitter. But going back to this match, Eddie was actually a busy little bee during this whole period, because he was in a feud with Chavo. If I remember rightly, Angle was trying to be the peacemaker, but he would be beating up Eddie pretty much all the way through the feud. Then he won the title whilst the feud with Chavo was going on, whilst the feud with Kurt was going on. And then obviously he was kind of helping Chris Benoit prepare for his triple threat match. So he was kind of burning the candles at both ends in terms of being involved in storylines.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You mentioned that about Chavo and you know, he's speaking to Benoit about the triple threat and so on. 2004, okay, they've lost Austin by this point. He's not an in-ring competitor anymore. And The Rock is back for this event as a sort of a special one-off or whatever. So they've lost The Rock, lost Austin as full-time performers. But what a roster they had, sort of the end of 2003 going into 2004. There was some absolutely superb talent on both sides of the coin, weren't there, on Raw and SmackDown?
It was stacked. I mean, just looking up and down this card, it's talent upon talent upon talent. It's just so super stacked. It's mental.
Yeah.
The amount of quality that they had on the roster back then.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. And as always with WWE pay-per-views, we get a brilliant opening video to the show, highlighting moments from previous WrestleManias and finishing with Vince McMahon next to Shane holding on to his grandson. The video again is a video is played again before the match, building up to the contest here, explaining a bit about Eddie's drug issues and so on. And then we get the entrances, and Kurt, obviously, you know, you suck comes out to that sort of classic tune. I like the lit up floor, the floor that's almost like a LED display of some description, showing the American flag and that.
Yeah. And also, and also they still had the women's the backlash from the women's match where Molly Holly was getting a head shaved.
Yeah, yeah, he had to walk past, and yeah, he didn't actually acknowledge it, did he? Which is a shame. I think that'd been quite cool if he'd
if he'd just gone over and rubbed his own head and said, "Look, you're one of us now."
Eddie then comes out in one of his low riders, and again, just Eddie Guerrero, man, just fantastic. The little dance he does, and the fact that he's actually wearing the belt as well, not dragging it behind him as it's slung over his shoulder. And what a beautiful title belt that Undisputed Championship was, Max.
Yeah. Oh, it was gorgeous. It may be on the list for going behind here very, very soon.
Yeah, I'd love one of those. Stunner. I'd love one of those. Indeed. The match starts with, I suppose it's a bit of a contradiction for me. I'd not picked up on it until I watched the match today, but Angle has said a lot of things about Eddie Guerrero. He's had him arrested. He's handcuffed him and beaten him with his arms behind his back. There's a lot of hatred, I suppose, in this feud. It's quite a fiery confrontation. So I would expect Guerrero to come at him firing on all cylinders, you know, full of rage and so on. But we don't get that. We get wrestling, which to me is great. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see. I watch a wrestling show for wrestling purposes. But in that instance, I'm thinking, okay, if there was that much build-up and that much hatred and that much heat between the two competitors, starting with a bit of a brawl to sort of carry on from that, like the first time they've got their hands on each other properly in a match, might have added a bit more for me there. But it's such a small, tiny, picky thing there that I'm sort of bringing up. But do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I totally understand. Like, if you had so much like hatred for each other, you'd want to knock seven bells of shit out of each other rather than technically wrestle each other to the ground. But when Kurt has been disparaging you as being a champion and you don't deserve the moniker of being the best in the world, would you not want to try and out wrestle him? Because that's his wheelhouse, and if you can better him at technical wrestling, you kind of have him on the back foot. That's the way I kind of like the way I kind of like went against what you said. But for me, the most jarring thing about this start was how much the crowd wasn't into the early part of the match. And I think it's because of exactly what you said. Because of the technical wrestling, they wanted a blood feud. And this is a crowd that sat there for 3.5 hours already. They want something exciting. And for it to start with chain wrestling and face locks and arm drags and wrist locks and stuff like that, it's kind of jarring for that crowd, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I understand. As we mentioned earlier, it is a long event as well, isn't it? You know, so people sort of feeling that way. But yeah, we had some great wrestling. Headlocks, arm drags, head scissors, and it's all very much mat-based stuff. The commentators mentioned Eddie Guerrero would want it to be quicker. He wants the pace to be faster to suit him. Kurt Angle would maybe have.
Oh dear, dear, dear!
Your internet seems to be. Hello? I think your internet's playing up there, sir.
Hello, I'm back.
Hello, your internet seemed to be having
hello.
A
I've got
seizure
no idea
then.
What happened there, Magsy.
No, you just went very robotic
no,
and.
I see.
But Sai is coming or in the chat. Sai is coming in like that match started. Lol. Yeah. But from what I could pick out of your robotic speech then,
I'm not too sure what happened there.
technically, the wrestling is gorgeous to watch in this first part. But if you were a fan in the crowd, you'd sat through 3 hours of wrestling. You need something to liven you up. You need something to kind of get the adrenaline pumping, I suppose. And maybe that was not the best choice, but to watch it now, some like 17 years on, it was brilliant to watch. I loved it. It was so slick, so smooth transitionally. It was beautiful wrestling. When they started going to the outside, and then there's the slam into the guardrail. It's just everything you want from a match between two of the best technical wrestlers in the world at that time. And I think you've paused again.
Yeah, definitely. Can just checking, Maxi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I gone again, have I?
Your screen just keeps pausing there a little bit.
Okay. I've just been informed by my good lady that our internet here is playing up. Apparently the internet downstairs is causing problems as well. So apologies to everyone for that. I'll try and power through as best I can and then
ring up my supplier tomorrow.
I'll ring up my supplier tomorrow and go absolutely batshit crazy, no doubt. the moment you'd mentioned, Magsy, Eddie misses a move from the top rope to the outside, doesn't he? And lands on his chest, damaging his ribs, which then leads to, again, something that makes absolute perfect sense. Angle starts targeting that area. Angle starts going after.
All the way through the rest of the match, which is brilliant, brilliant psychology.
Exactly. And it's great storytelling. It's great psychology. Spot on. It's exactly what you want from a wrestling match. It makes perfect sense. And again, I love AEW. That's the company that I will watch the most of. But that sometimes I think is lacking in certain matches there. You don't get that much from that with... you don't get sort of people targeting a body part and working on it to set up for their finisher. I suppose the storytelling or the psychology isn't quite on point, I guess, you know?
Yes, especially with today's kind of like super fast-paced, spot-heavy wrestling where wrestlers are always trying to be today's big news with an outstanding feat of technical expertise. Sometimes just watching really good, well-told, storyline-driven wrestling, it's refreshing.
Yeah, and what I find with this match as well is you've got the wrestling part at the beginning. You've got the big moment of Guerrero missing this move to the outside, which then leads to the additional part of the storytelling that they're doing with regards to Angle going after this injured body part. But when the pace quickens towards the end of the match and you have the sort of triple vertical suplexes that Eddie throws coming in, you have the
three amigos.
That's right. Yeah. The three amigos. You have the
Germans from Angle.
Rolling Germans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All of that.
It's brilliant. It's literally the greatest hits, but it's so damn good.
When that happens and it does pick up and it does get quick, because you haven't had that.
Oh dear.
Okay, you've froze again. That pace change that means that kind of like, yeah, you're back. That kind of like change of gear halfway through the match where they were really kind of building up to the finish. This is kind of blink and you miss it style wrestling. Some really good stuff. And we get multiple attempts from Kurt where he does something that always impresses me when his opponent is on the top rope and he runs up the ropes to pull off a superplex or a super arm drag. We see a couple of times when he tries that. There's one where Eddie foils him. He goes down on the floor and we get Eddie going for the frog splash. And Kurt just gets out of the way and Eddie hits those ribs onto the canvas. And Kurt, again, straight away, goes back to a body lock and really targeting those ribs. It's a really good callbacks. And in today's wrestling, you see a lot of wrestlers, they'll target a body part and then they'll suddenly forget that body part's injured and then they'll carry on with their moveset. But this rib injury kept going all the way through the match. Big intake of breath from Sa there. And it looks like Sa's internet has gone. I'm sure he'll be back any minute. But this match was essentially them building to that very unique finish. Kurt tries for the ankle lock a couple of times, but both times Eddie kind of rolls out and is able to essentially throw Kurt out of the ring with it. But the finish comes when Eddie starts untying his boot, and as fans at the time, you think it's because his ankle's broke and he wants to relieve the pressure by undoing his boot and getting some air to it and being able to kind of maybe treat it. But he then sees Kurt come back to his feet. He looks at Kurt. Kurt looks at him. Kurt, you can see just the anger in his eyes. And Eddie goes, "Oh, shit." Kurt comes back in, gets the ankle lock, but that boot comes into play, and Eddie wiggles out of his boot. Kurt's looking confused, like, "Have I just ripped am I fighting Zach Gowen here? What the hell's happening?" And then Eddie gets the inside cradle and gets the victory. Kurt is fuming, absolutely fuming on the ropes. He's looking at the ref. He's like, "What the hell's going on?" And Eddie's there celebrating with his title, and he was wearing trainer socks, which really baffled me to consider. He had boots on.
Yeah, I'm back. Can you hear me? Okay,
I can. What was your thoughts on that whole kind of running from focusing on the ribs, and then Kurt going for the ankle lock, and then Eddie weaseling his way out?
I agree with everything you said, Max.
Brilliant.
I thought it was just that, yeah, you got an angry sigh right now. I am fuming. The amount of money I pay for this internet, someone's going to get a roast in tomorrow, I'll tell you that. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I think just before I disappeared, I heard you saying about Angle running up the ropes to catch someone. Yeah, that is, every time I see that, is just,
it's absolutely amazing. It's one of the things that Angle does that I've always loved. Whether it's for a suplex, whether it's for an arm drag, the way he like sees a opponent climbing the ropes and he's on there like a whippet, and he attempts it a couple of times at this. Only once I think it's actually successful. But the first time he attempts it, Eddie shakes him off and then goes for the frog splash. Misses because Angle just gets out of the way, and then that helps build more of the rib injuries, because Angle goes straight back to a body lock, which is outstanding storytelling.
Yeah, just brilliant stuff. I really, really enjoyed the match, and just, I think we had a comment earlier on saying that it was two of the best in ring. maybe. I'll probably get myself cancelled, mate, some of the stuff I'm going to say. I'm actually running now. I'm hotspotting my phone, and it seems to be absolutely perfect now. So hopefully, touch wood, we're going to be okay. That's the comment there. Well done, Magsy. Have to be two of the finest ever in-ring competitors. And I totally agree. Absolutely agree. I mean, Angle, when I did the Mount Rushmore with you, Mags, on Badlands Pod, Angle was part of my Mount Rushmore. I rate the guy that highly. I think he's one of my all-time favorites. Guerrero, whenever I see the guy, whether it's in his Cruiserweight days or his ECW days or his obviously much more successful later runs in the WWE here in the main event picture and so on, just so good. And it really, really is a shame that obviously he was taken or he passed so early, because we could have got Eddie versus AJ Styles at some point. We could have got Eddie versus the one that really stands out to me, especially for this era. We could have got Eddie Guerrero versus Shawn Michaels. Could you imagine how good? Give those guys 30 minutes, send them out on a big stage.
I mean, Eddie's one of those kind of like wrestlers that would have been absolutely universal. No matter what time frame he was in, he would have been an absolute star. He had that. He had the kind of mix of amazing charisma, likability. Even when he was being a full-on douchebag, you still liked him. but the wrestling was second to none. And you could imagine him now doing a run in New Japan and absolutely killing it. I mean, he would be a made man in AEW now, going up against the likes of Mox, up against Darby Allin, mm-hmm. Kenny Omega. I mean, he could have a great match with Shawn Spears. That's how good he is.
Yeah, he's just so good. Everything about him. And again, he's one of those characters that, one of those performers, sorry, that he kind of had everything, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He could work as a heel. He could work as a face. He was a great tag wrestler. He was a great singles competitor. He could fly like a cruiserweight. But then you see in this match, he could wrestle a wrestling match. He could work with someone like Angle or Benoit or Jericho he had matches with, and they were more map-based contests, and just and the fire as well when he has these
All right then.
I don't think Saz, Eddie Guerrero love is something that the internet gods are allowing. Unfortunately, Saz internet is really, really struggling today. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to give you my choice for the next match before Saz. Hopefully his internet will be sorted out before then. If not, I'm sure we'll get his choice in the upcoming tweets. But for me, I want to stick with Eddie Guerrero. Watching this match has kind of reignited that passion for Eddie Guerrero. So I'm actually going to go with his most highly rated Western match. He's only ever had one 5-star wrestling match in his whole career, and that was actually in AAA when it was Eddie Guerrero and Love Machine versus El Hijo del Santo and Octagon. And Sai is back again. Hello, sir. I just segued into giving my pick for the next match. And if your internet still is playing up, you can always add yours to the tweets. But I was just saying, this watching this match as kind of like reinvigorated my love for Eddie Guerrero. So I wanted to stick on that theme. So Eddie's going to be my link to the next match. And I was just saying how he's only ever had one 5-star match in his career, but that was in AAA. And it was Eddie Guerrero and Love Machine versus El Hijo del Santo and Octagon. So his next highest rated match was a 4¾-star match from WCW in 1997, at Halloween Havoc 1997, when he had a title versus mask match against one of his best friends and still amazing to this very day, Rey Mysterio Jr. So that's the pick I'm going for. Halloween Havoc 1997, Eddie versus Rey Mysterio Jr. in a hair versus mask, a title versus mask match.
I saw this a while back. I can't remember what I was watching it for, but it's absolutely amazing. I think I was watching it for a match later in the show for some reason. I was doing research for something and I saw this and I watched. Oh, absolutely fantastic contest. Old Mr. Meltzer, who we were slating earlier on, no doubt has given it a very, very high star rating, I imagine.
It's his highest Western-based, it's his highest American-based score, 4¾ stars, but it's by far and away his highest cage match rated, which is fan-based, with 9.39.
Yeah, absolutely great contest. Really looking forward to potentially watching that. If I cannot stop it with my selection, Mags, and hopefully people will jump on board and vote my way for the first time in a couple of weeks. I need a win. I'm going to go back to the old faithful of using the venue as somewhere I can jump across to. Madison Square Garden, lots of history there. The first WrestleMania, numerous Royal Rumbles, WrestleMania 10, with some great matches there. Survivor Series 96, and there was a match I toyed with looking at there, because that was hosted in Madison Square Garden as well. But then something stood out to me that I didn't realize was in this arena. And that's SummerSlam 91 was apparently held at Madison Square Garden. I don't remember that being in Madison Square Gardens. That surprised me.
I remember it because we've covered it on that 90s wrestling podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine not too long ago, because you're just entering 93 now, aren't you? So it wouldn't have been that only a few months back, I'm guessing. My pick is going to be using Madison Square Garden to jump to SummerSlam 91, where that was hosted as well, held as well, sorry. And I'm going to go with one of the earlier matches on the card, and that is Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title.
That's so damn good.
It's 18 minutes of just Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect being freaking amazing.
I mean, Dan will be able to confirm in the chat, but I'm sure that match got it got voted by all of us to be the best match on the card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I imagine so. I can't. What else would have been on there? Sure, the main event definitely wasn't it.
Let me just pull the card up. I'm almost positive that we all picked that match.
Yeah, I imagine so, because to me, it's one of the best matches from that year. 91 was like from the WWF anyway. WCW, NWA side of things, you probably had more available to you, the likes of talent they had on their roster then. But WWE wise, I imagine Perfect versus Hart probably up there as the match of the year, maybe, or one of the top three or four at least.
I think it was definitely in contention for match of the year when we did our year-end awards. I can't remember if it won, but you can certainly go back to the That 90s Wrestling podcast archives and listen along. We waxed lyrical about this match. It is so. I am happy to be watching this match again, because it is so damn good.
And well, there you go.
And Mr. Perfect was actually injured in this match as well.
Yeah.
He'd broken his coccyx. So to pull off this match injured, it's phenomenal. I would be more than happy if my pick of Eddie versus Ray didn't win this week.
Both matches are so good. You could watch both, be equally happy with either, couldn't you?
Absolutely could. Both great picks. But what we do need to do, Sam, I mean, I know we this is a change in kind of like the run of the show, but we need to give scores for Eddie versus Kurt.
Yes, good shake. I've been completely thrown off my game, Magsy, this evening. I've had a few issues literally just before we started recording that completely threw me. I had the internet issues tonight, and it's so damn hot. So I apologise to everybody out there. I apologise to you as well, Magsy, for the issues I've experienced tonight. This will not continue. This will get better. This will not be the same next week.
Nothing to apologise for. Internet and technical issues happen all the time, and the fact that we've been able to ride it, and it happened in our second episode, so we've got it early, and we'll build from that. I think we've done a cracking job to ride through it. But let's get to the scores then. Oof, this is a beautiful match.
It's so good, isn't it? So good.
I don't think it's Kenny versus Okada beautiful, but it's certainly one of the better WWE matches we've watched. I'm going to agree with our friend and friend of the show, Dave Meltzer, and I certainly didn't slag him
big
off
fan of the show. Show big fan of the yeah. show.
I'm gonna say that this is 4.5 star, so that works out to a 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
9.0.
Yeah, I think I was thinking 8.5, 9. It was so much better than I remembered it being. So I remember, of course, Eddie versus Angle is, you know, it's going to be good, but it was so much better than so much better than I remember it being. I think I'm going to have to go up there with a 9 as well. I think it's going to have to be a 9 for me as well, Magsy, to be honest. It is literally that good, isn't it? If you're a fan of actual wrestling and the storytelling and how you put together a match and structure it properly to last as long as it does, because this isn't a short contest by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I think it's over 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just fantastic stuff. It's absolutely great. I mean, the finish is brilliantly done, and it's funny.
And it's unique.
Yeah, it's completely new, and I've not seen it before or really since. Though maybe a bit in a weird way, maybe that takes it down from a 9.5 for me, because I think a match that good, if we didn't have almost a comedy finish, it might have scored higher. But it's weird for me to say that, because I love the match and I love the finish. But maybe it was, I don't know. It's difficult for me to explain exactly what I mean. But yeah, I think a 9 for me as well, Magsy. Absolutely spot on the money.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand you kind of like scoring it down, because it is something unique. It was comedy effect, and for at least for that 15 minutes or so, this match was anything but comedy. Mm. This was a serious contest. So for it to end on a comedy spot, yeah, I can see you mark it down. But for me, I didn't see it as a comedy spot. I see it now in retrospect, but at the time I saw that as Eddie's wiliness to basically get the job done. I mean, no one else would have thought of that. Nobody had that kind of mindset where they would lie, cheat, and steal to win. So I think it really worked for his character.
I think it serves the purpose brilliantly as well, because again, it's such a small little nitpick of mine. I love the finish, and I love the match. Don't get me wrong. So I deal with Virgin Media quite regularly. When I ring up, they're probably just going to be going, oh no, because they know who's ringing and so on. So yeah, trust me, it's an ongoing issue I've had for the last week. Normally my internet is very, very good, but this last week it's been shocking. So this would be maybe the third phone call I've made. So that's why I'm getting quite agitated and frustrated with it. But that's not your problem. That's something for me to sort out, ready for you people, lovely people, to watch us next week. But yeah, back to the finish. It's that scenario of, I think, I don't want to mark it down for that, because I love the finish. But at the same time, when a match was that good, if we had a cleaner finish, I guess, I might have scored it a bit higher. But at the same time, this is obviously one of the main events, because it's a title match, but it wasn't on last. It was in the middle of the show. I suppose it does its purpose. I'm assuming we go to a rematch from this. I'm assuming there is another contest between the two at some point, which this finish would kind of set up. So I guess that would be its placement on the card, I think, helps with the finish it has, if I've explained that well enough.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. And that's a lot of your reason is why I've probably scored it a 9 as well. But yeah, this was an outstanding match.
Absolutely brilliant. Okay. So,
and I think they face each other at SummerSlam as well. I want to say SummerSlam.
SummerSlam 2004. I think so. I'd have to look it up. Which obviously I'm not sure if I can do, because nothing's working. But
Kurt defeats Eddie Guerrero by submission.
There we go then. Okay. So I suppose that brings us to the end of this week's sort of slightly disjointed up and down efforts. I'm not writing them a Christmas card, pal. Trust me, they are not in my good books. A quick recap, I suppose, the selections for next week, which you'll be able to find on our social medias as well. The vote is also always going to be on the Twitter in form of a poll. That's at @chain_wrestling there. But you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at @chain_wrestling on those as well. So any feedback or any suggestions or anything at all, any interactions at all. But the poll is on Twitter. That's where you need to find us there. And the topics potentially next week are the incredible Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero match from Halloween Havoc 1997. What was the stipulation there again, Max? Just remind me, hair versus mask?
Title versus mask.
Okay. and it is an absolute barnstormer of a contest. Or we have Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect from SummerSlam 1991. For the Intercontinental title, which again is an absolutely barnstorming match as well. Vote, retweet, share away, discuss what you think's best. Get involved in the chat online. Again, at @chain_wrestling there. Magsy, whereabouts can people find you, my friend?
You can find me here at Podfather Mags on the Twitter. That's the only social media that I'm on. But you can also find Five Rounds on all the social medias. They're run by Carlos. You can find Radio Techers all over, run by Tanner. I'm carried by quite a few people in terms of social media. But yeah, I'm involved in lots and lots of amazing content with some amazing creators. So you can find those links on my Twitter at PodfatherMags.
Great stuff. I do have a new show to plug that is coming out very soon via Radio Techers. I won't go into too much detail right now, but if you're a fan of Quantum Leap, then this will be the show for you. You can find the show, the show's socials, again, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. The Waiting Room Pod is what we're calling the show, and it's me and our good buddy Benny Mack, who a few people who have listened to Chain Wrestling from day one will remember Benny as being dickhead.
remember Benny as being a dickhead.
I was referring to Dave in the chat, actually. But you may remember Benny as being the role of the voiceover guy on some earlier episodes. We had a great fun with some little sketches and skits, I suppose, with Benny back then. Just two Quantum Leap fans looking back on a show that we loved when we were younger, episode by episode. It's going to be great fun. We're in the process of recording early episodes now, so look out for that. That's going to be coming out via Radio Techers as well, audio only, in podcast form. But yeah, keep an eye out for that, and keep an eye out on my social media at @SJPWords for any more news about that show, and Benny's as well, which is at Benny Mack, 3 N's Benny Mack. Yeah, that's it. You can find the show at @chain_wrestling. You can find me at @SJPWords. Magsy, I'm off now to drive my fist through my modem. I'll see you next week, my friend.
Bye-bye.